This is the Band School Podcast, where we talk about business, adventure, and mission with your host, Buddy Rathmel.
All right, welcome to the BAM School Podcast. I'm excited today to have Aiden on the call. I first met Aiden when I was a client of his. He and a few of his friends had started an X group online, and I was diving back into X after like a 15-year hiatus. And it actually ended up being huge for my business. Probably about half of my business last year came from X. So super grateful to Aiden and his friends and what they created and how that helped me in my X journey. And so recently reconnected and asked if Aiden would jump on the podcast and just share some of his business journey and some of the thoughts that he might have for the 18 to 28 crowd that wants to have an online business. So Aiden, welcome to the BAM School Podcast.
Thanks for having me, buddy. It's awesome to see where we started and where we've both grown to. So thank you.
Yeah, I'm stoked to hear more of your story. So tell our listeners a bit, like what was your like inspiration to, you know, get into the online business world? And then what's your journey been like?
Yeah, totally. So about 3 years ago, when I was 21 years old, I was working as a manager at a flower warehouse. Funny enough, I distributed flowers. I was in college and I was playing semi-professional soccer. So that was my life. I had no idea about online business or starting a business or entrepreneurship. You know, I saw people doing it. I was curious, but I had no ability or path to get into it. And then I started getting really sick. And over a period of 6 months, I lost 40 pounds. I had to drop out of school. I had to quit my job. And I had to quit playing semi-professional soccer, which was my dream at the time, to become a professional athlete. And I ended up getting diagnosed with Crohn's disease. And that rapid transformation put me in the hospital. I was in the hospital, and I remember just laying in my hospital bed for a few weeks and beginning to watch YouTube videos to pass the time and coming across these ideas of online business and entrepreneurship. And at the time, one of my friends from high school was also starting a newsletter called the Rundown AI, which just passed 1 million signups. So he was starting that. And he showed me that there was a bit of a path, and he gave me the inspiration and the courage to maybe take action myself. So as I began my recovery journey, I began to regain my health, focusing on hitting the gym again, eating again, and trying to rebuild my body. I made a commitment to try and start a business before going back to the old life of university and sports and work. And over that period of 6 months, I recovered my health. And then another maybe 6 months after that, I was trying to start a business on Twitter, which is where we eventually came into contact with each other. And over that 6 month period, I just went further and further into debt. I made no money. I didn't have a job. I wasn't eligible for medical insurance at the time because of some mess up with my insurance company. And I was just going deeper and deeper into debt. Finally, I made a final commitment that if I didn't make a dollar by the end of the month, and it might have been January 2023 or something like that, that I would go back to my old job. And I signed my first client at the end of that month, pretty much directly. From there, I kept working, got a few more clients, eventually started a community, which is where you and I came into contact, where I was helping other people along that same period. And that pushed me to where I am today, which is full-time on my business in a situation I never really dreamed was possible, but really grateful for. That's the quick rundown of the journey.
That's awesome. So I actually had my first business out of college, mm-hmm. or maybe it was my second. One was selling meat out of a truck, which wasn't really a business. It was sales and it was not mm-hmm. fun. But my first business was actually selling flowers. It was called Roses by Rathmel. Right. I was selling flowers door to door. And on a sunny Friday, it was amazing. Like I could make, you know, $200 in like 2 hours. But on a rainy Monday, I'd like be done at the end of the day and still have roses. And I'm like, all right, time to, you know, find something different. So that's funny that you were in that as well. Yeah. So your first clients, when you said clients, you were ghostwriting for clients. Was that your business back then?
I eventually got to ghostwriting, but the very first thing I did was I spent a ton of time learning the skill of writing. And over that 6 month period, and while I was in the hospital, I just consumed everything I could on writing. And I started helping a few people for free, just trying to build goodwill, trust, credibility, get a few testimonials, helping people. And I eventually signed my first client, was a Codekin client, helping him learn how to write on Twitter.
Oh, cool.
It was $150 a week deal.
Yeah.
That was, and eventually, at first I thought that was what I was going to do. But then I realized I wanted to build my skill more as well, and also do more of the service side versus the coaching side, more done for you. So from there, I eventually got an appointment setting client where I was handling DMs and doing sales, funny enough, again. That was the entryway to my high ticket part, doing appointment setting. Got a referral from them to another person, grew that business up, had one guy working for me, handling some of the tasks while I was growing the business. And then from there, I kind of recognized what's the other aspect of that. What's the other problem these people are facing? It's writing their own content. And I started doing a little ghostwriting as well. So it was a little all over the place. And
yeah.
When you met me, I had a community which was teaching the similar processes, teaching the writing skills. So at that time, I was doing some appointment setting with one guy who was doing the work for me. I was doing ghostwriting and I was running a community. So it was a little bit all over the place.
Yeah.
Business was doing well, but I was definitely split focused.
Right. Yeah. So now you kind of have more of a focus. Now you're working with Andrew Kirby. Let me cut that out. Yeah. Now you're pretty focused. You're working with Andrew Kirby. Tell me a little bit about what you're doing there and, you know, how that has been better than being, you know, split focused all over the place.
Yeah. Focus is really important. And I think a lot of people know this, but at the same time, they don't embody it. And that was me. I knew I was doing too much. I knew I couldn't run an agency, a community, and a done-for-you service at the same time. And when I made that transition to working with Kirby full-time was when I was running the school community, and he happened to join the community. So he was joining, like you joined as a client, and he was interested in growing on Twitter. And a light bulb went off in my head where I thought, okay, this is an opportunity. This is someone who, for the listeners who might not be aware, he's hosting the school games with Alex Hormozy. He has grown up multiple successful businesses as a young man in his 20s, the first to 100K a month, a business called Time Theory. So he was ahead of me and he was quite successful. And I knew that if I could kind of provide value to this person, maybe something good would open itself up to me. So I started again by working for free for him, doing anything I could to help him writing his Twitter hooks, brainstorming ideas. I did a SWOT analysis of his account to find some strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, threats, the things he could work on. And from there, I just kept helping him until an opportunity for me to make an offer to him presented itself. And he became a client of mine. And it started, at first, he was just another client in the business. And then as one night, I was kind of reflecting on everything and I was realizing I had a mentor who I invested in who was telling me I needed to focus up, essentially slapping me in the face, telling me you can't do it all. And I looked at which opportunity had the most ability to increase my impact, income, and have fun doing it, which are three pillars I look at in a good business and a good life. And I thought this guy was the one. Yeah. If I could go all in on him, everything else would figure itself out. And nice. I didn't have to worry about running an agency and maybe a community and things like that. So eventually he asked me if I wanted to go full time with him, because I was so committed to over delivering. And I had a project I called Project Indispensable, indispensable to him.
Nice.
And that evolved into me helping with his community and now working with him full time. My official role is hosting the community called Synthesizer School, which has about 15,000 members. And I'm mainly running that community now.
Yeah, that's awesome, dude. I love it. And I think that, you know, there's a couple things from your life. One, you got skills, like you worked hard for a long time to get a specific, you know, or a set of skills, I should say. Tried out, a bunch of different things and then providing tons of value. And like when you're providing tons of value, then you can ask something. Hey, do you want to be a client? Or, hey, how about you ramp up to this next level of the service that I offer or whatever? And way cool that you were able to join him. So I know when we first connected about this podcast, you were in Europe and then I was in Europe. Now we're both back in the Americas, or I guess you wouldn't call it the Americas, would you call it?
Up North Canada.
The frozen North.
And I'm up in the frozen North.
Even though it's the North American continent. Yep. But yeah, so tell me, what led you over there? What were you doing? And what was that all about?
Yeah, so looking at my life in terms of those three pillars of impact, income, and fun, one of the things that kind of hit all three was working with Kirby. He invited me to fly out to London and then over to Bath to work on a project together. And getting to fly out, work face-to-face with a client you're working with, build that relationship, and also have fun. Like, we went to a rugby game. We hung out. We went to a comedy show. We had a good time while getting a lot of productive work done. That was just an incredible experience for me and something that would have never happened if I didn't choose to focus up in the first place.
Yeah, totally. That's awesome to get someone to pay for you to have adventures. That's even better than just straight up having adventures. So way cool that you had that opportunity. So what have been some of the values and principles? You know, we talked about a few of those, but what are some of the values and principles that have guided you to this point?
Yeah, there's a lot that I could go into here. And I think at the beginning, it's acceptance. And you need to kind of accept that you don't have it all figured out, that you don't really know what you're doing, and you just have to take action anyways and trust the process that you'll end up somewhere. And for me, that was really hard at the beginning. For a lot of those younger people who are thinking of starting a business, haven't, trying to figure it out, at the beginning, you don't have anything going for you, it feels like you're alone and that you don't have the skills, experience, or even knowledge about what business to start. So I'd say kind of accepting that that's okay, that that's where you're at, and then continuing to do the work anyways is one big one. Also, I'd say, speaking on terms of skills, the ability of building your network, I'd say, is a big one. If you can build your network organically, you can find people to help. Like, I would say me finding Kirby was me expanding my network and then having an opportunity, broadening my surface area of luck to then put myself in a position to get lucky. And once you do that, once you expand your network and you talk to people, if you can discover their current situation and their desired situation and the problems they have in the middle, keeping them from getting there, and then find a way to help them overcome those things, that's when a business becomes viable. And I think most people try and start a business by coming up with an idea. They think, oh, I have an idea for this great business. I think it would work. This is who I'm going to target. This is my niche. I'm going to help them do X, Y, Z. And then they put it on their website. They make a website or they start creating content about it and it gets them nowhere. And that's because they're kind of skipping a step of discovery where you need to actually talk to people and figure out where they're at, where they want to be, and the problems they have in the middle and how you as an individual can help them overcome those things. And for me, it kind of organically created that for me by trusting the process and just taking opportunities as they presented themselves to me. And it started by building the skill of writing, which led to getting a first client, which led to getting a second client, which led to doing sales, which built the skill there, which then led to helping on the other pillar, which was ghostwriting, which continued to build the skill. And then building a community created the skill of hosting communities, running events, hosting calls, speaking, building connections between people. And I just continued to skill stack these opportunities and discovering current situations, desired situations, and problems. And as I built my skills, I built my ability to help people overcome those problems, which then resulted in everything that I created. And I never had an idea. I never had an idea of what I was going to do. Sure, I started with ideas. Initially, I thought I was going to be a health and fitness coach. That's what I started creating content on, and it got me nowhere for 6 months, right? And you could even probably look back on my Twitter, which I'm not active on anymore, but my early threads were on that. But as soon as I, instead of trying to skip steps and creating a business out of thin air, and I just looked to meet people and talk to them and try and help them and try and be useful and provide value to them, and value defined as helping them reach where they want to be and help them overcome their problems, that's when everything started to click. That's when I had offers that actually sold. That's when I grew businesses, retained customers, and got them results. And that was probably the one underlying principle that changed everything for me.
Yeah, super cool. I have a question. You mentioned your friend that started a newsletter and now has over 1 million subs. What was the name of that newsletter? And just give us his story in 30 seconds and how that's gone for him.
Yeah, his name's Rowan Chung. His newsletter is The Rundown AI. And around the time I was sick, he was also going through some stuff himself. And he started writing on AI. And I remember we used to go to the gym and sauna together. And the day ChatGPT released, we went back after the gym to his house. And we were just playing around with ChatGPT, the first day it was released, we were one of the first users. And we were both so wowed by this. He said, okay, this is going to be the next wave. You know, the previous wave that we missed was crypto. Everyone got excited about that. Now this is the new wave. He called it early. He started writing Twitter threads on it as well. Grew a big audience. He's over 500,000 followers now. And just began to reinvest everything he could into the business. And today his newsletter's at 1 million subs. So that really inspired me that you can do something if you put your head down and work. And if you identify a trend and get on it early, do more than the competition and reinvest into yourself, some big things are possible. So yeah, that's what inspired me to get started in the first place.
That's cool. So is he doing well? Like, is that making him a full-time living and stuff with 1 million subs, I imagine?
Yeah, I imagine it's quite beyond a full-time living now.
Yeah, yeah.
For context, I think he has a AI community that you can look at online, Rundown AI University. It has 5,000 paying members in that at an annual price. So that alone is probably doing well. But yeah, he's crushing it.
Yeah. So I get asked a lot because I, you know, have done the BAM school, or people in my circles know I do online things. What would you recommend for somebody like 18 to 25, 26? What kind of online business, you know, do you recommend for young people to get started now after the last 4 or 5 years of your own experience?
It's a great question. And I'd say the idea of being a synthesizer, which is what this community I host is all about, is probably the best place to start. We define a synthesizer as someone who solves problems and shares the solution. And instead of a specific business, say ghostwriting, I'd say this opens up the doors, the playing field a little bit. And what I would recommend is someone starting with a direction in mind. For me, that was writing. I knew I liked writing. I knew I wanted to build the skill of writing. And then I had a few other things I was interested in, like health, because of my journey with Crohn's disease and really being sick in the hospital for a while. And when you start with a direction in mind, let's say you're really interested in writing, like me, you then find other people who are interested in that. Find a platform where other people are interested in that, which was Twitter for me. I got started on Twitter. And then just start networking and creating and building the skill and finding friends and meeting people and starting to broaden your surface area of luck and seeing what will hit you. And then if you start networking with people, let's say you get on a call like you and I are on, and we start talking and I do a little bit of discovery and I figure out what you're struggling with, where you want to be, maybe I can help you with that, right? And instead of coming at it with, I'm going to be this and putting yourself in a box, if you start just with a direction in mind with directional accuracy instead of specific inaccuracy, you can kind of grow with yourself and your business as you go. And I've seen this work really well for people because they don't put themselves in a box, like I mentioned, and they find new opportunities that they didn't even realize were possible. And they might start a business they never knew existed simply because they start by networking. They then discover problems and share solutions people have. Then maybe they do free work like I did to build the skill, get better at whatever they want to do, collect case studies and testimonials, maybe get referrals just by providing value to people. And then you can make an offer after that. But I wouldn't start by creating a business and an offer and then trying to sell it immediately. I'd start by finding people to help, working for free, building your skills, getting good at what you're doing. And then the way to find clients is rather easy. If you're good at what you do, finding clients is rather easy. And if you're not getting clients, it's probably because you're not actually good at what you do.
Yeah, totally. I actually started my business on accident. I was trying to start another business and I was good at Google Maps. Like I knew and totally confident. Like I walked into this co-working space and just was like, hey, I could fill this place up for you just by ranking you on Google Maps if you'll give me a free office. And I did in a couple of months. And that lady actually promoted me to other people. Mm. Like she was better at promoting my maps business than I was at this other business. And I ended up shutting down the other business I was planning on starting because this one in a few months had made me like 25 grand. And the other one was making like not even $1,000 a month. So I, you know, it was like an accident, but I was good at it. So it worked, you know? And I just was like, okay, I knew, for me, like the business is a little bit the means to an end. I mean, there's some great things in it, But so even now I'm thinking like, okay, how do I bring in some people to replace me at sales? Like I've already replaced me doing 90% of the work, but now it's like next level. Like, okay, how do I have somebody that do sales? How do I have someone that can like take over any client interactions and those kind of things, you know, in the future? Yep. So you mentioned Crohn's disease. I imagine that's kind of been the biggest challenge that you had, but what are some of the challenges that you've had to overcome in this journey?
Yeah, great question. Crohn's was definitely the biggest and the hardest. Everything else feels like child's play afterwards.
Yeah, you
know, like business problems are a little, they are put into perspective when you can't even eat a meal or you can't even stand up without fainting. And you don't have any money because you can't physically work. So everything else is put into perspective where I have a lot of gratitude for the problems I have now. Where like I would kill to have the problems I have now years ago, right? I'd kill for them. So I think that puts things into perspective for me. Yeah, other challenges, like I mentioned earlier, getting started is probably the biggest first challenge for a lot of people. Because a lot of people feel a bit of a whisper in their soul that they want to do something, right? Maybe they were like me working a 9-to-5. Maybe they're in university for these young people. Maybe they're graduated and they have a full-time job. And they kind of are locked in golden handcuffs, right? Where your income and your stability and your security just gives you enough to be happy, but it keeps you shackled where you can't break free and get to what you really want to do. So I'd say the biggest challenge is really just getting started. And that's why I'm so grateful for getting Crohn's disease and ending up in the hospital. As crazy as it may sound because of how heavily it's impacted my life, if that never happened to me, I would never be here having this conversation with you. So accepting those problems and just getting started is probably the biggest one that most people struggle with, because I was forced to take action. I was forced to start. I had no other options, right?
Yeah.
If I never got sick, I might still have gone through college, graduated, and got a regular job and never even tried. So for those people who don't have something harrowing force them to try, I'd say taking that leap of faith and trying anyways is probably the first challenge that people really need to overcome.
Yeah, that's good. I say when I went to, you know, when I was young, like smart people went to college. Hmm. And now I say college is great for average people, but smart people should build things, you know? And I just think the opportunity that's out there, if you're building something, it just compounds over time, where when you go to college, like, yeah, you might get out and you get a decent job, although that's getting harder every day. But if you're building something, you know, it's harder the first year, two, three, maybe, but then that compounding personal growth, like there's no personal development program like starting a business, right? Like you just, 100%. You're learning all kinds of things and growing in all, you know, different kinds of ways. So one of the things that we connected on was over faith, you know, like a year or so ago. How has your faith impacted your journey along the way?
I'd say it's probably been the biggest pillar of everything. You know, it's hard to say where I would be without any faith. Because even when I, to bring back that story, you know, when I was sick, a lot of times there was a hint of fear and desperation and like, will I ever get better? But because of my faith, I just had a belief that everything was going to work out. And I was exactly where I needed to be. And it actually made me incredibly mentally sound through that whole journey. I felt no fear or worry. I was kind of like that quote of be not afraid. You know, that one really stuck with me. And it was that faith that really propelled me and told me that you were meant for this. You know, you were destined for this. You were placed on this earth for a reason, not by chance. And it is up to you to fulfill that. And if you give up, you're giving up on yourself and that future image of yourself. And for me, I always think, you know, when I die and I come face to face with our creator, will I be happy? Will I be welcomed with open arms saying, you know, welcome home, my son. With you, I'm well pleased. Or will I be, look at this version of yourself that you were supposed to be, but you failed because you were scared and because you gave in to your temptations and your weakness and the fear of getting started. So that's a little inkling of the faith that has propelled me through it all.
Yeah, that's cool. I think like obviously the theme of like just getting started, you know, achieving what is before you is coming through a lot. And I think you've probably seen that, like running a school with 15,000 people that want to start a business. You've probably seen that people that take actions are the only ones that are actually, like, without action, you don't have a business, you know. What are some of the things, like, you just interviewed Matt Rice today. You've interacted with a lot of super successful people online. What are the commonalities you've seen from people that are really successful online that you've seen between them?
It's a good question. Action is definitely one. Sacrifice is another. You know, you can't live a dual life. If you think about that perfect version of yourself that you want, you're striving to become, you know, your current situation versus your desired situation of who you want to be, you can't sacrifice without getting there. So everyone I look at who is successful, they sacrifice a lot. And that may seem cliche where everyone knows that, everyone knows you have to sacrifice to get somewhere. But the people who actually do it and actually cut out areas of their life that are hurting them, they're the ones who grow. And the ones who don't, they say it, but they never actually do it and they never cut anything out. Sacrifice is one. Action is another. And I'd add on something called starting then learning. You know, you don't need to learn before starting. The people who get the furthest, they start first and learn as they go. You know, I got my first ghostwriting client without really knowing how to ghostwrite.
Yeah.
And then because I started, I was forced myself to build the skill and get good at it. Otherwise, I would fail.
Yeah.
So starting forced me to learn. I'd say the successful people are really good at that. They're really good at ignoring any fears they have. And they also have their action threshold is one, it has a lot higher bar of quality than most people. And it has a lot higher bar of speed, where they spend less time thinking about things, more time doing. And the time they put into doing creates far higher quality output. So they raise the standard of quality a lot higher. And when I started with Kirby, that was one of the things that helped me level up a lot, was the fact that he had a very high standard of quality for work. And it forced me to match that standard of quality, which helped me improve. And it showed me that these people who are ahead of you, they're ahead of you for a reason. It's because they really do take action. They really do sacrifice. And they really do have a very high standard of quality.
That's cool. So is the team now for the synthesizer community just you and Kirby, or are there other people on it?
Yeah, just me and him. We have a few people who moderate the community that are, we elevate our leaders in the community. It's one of our principles we run by. You want to encourage and elevate your leaders to be active participants. And they help moderate and keep calls active and keep things really running smoothly. But the team itself is just me and Kirby.
Yeah, that's super cool. So you mentioned some of the things you've seen from, you know, the people that have been successful. What have some of the lessons that you've learned from Kirk, lessons you've learned from people that you've interacted with along the way?
One thing I learned from working with Kirby and getting in close contact with Sam Evans, who I got the chance of meeting at School HQ, and also by association Hermosi, who he works closely with, was the importance of associations. Who and what you associate yourself with. So Hormozy, for example, is incredibly, incredibly careful about his associations. And that means he won't speak on a lot of podcasts. He won't interact with a lot of people. And he really carefully guards the people he lets close to him. And I think that's for a few reasons. One is for branding. You know, a brand is an association between two things. So if you're growing a personal brand, you need to be very careful of what you associate with, because everything you associate with, your audience will begin to associate you with as well. And the other is in terms of that idea of you are the sum of the five people you spend the most time around. And I'd say nowadays that is actually being adapted to, you are the sum of the five people whose content you consume the most, because those are the people you're spending the most time around. So I think in terms of a lesson there, it's you got to be very careful of what you associate with, what you consume and you put into your body, and what you actually want to do. Does that answer that question?
Yeah, that's great. So what are some of those pieces for you? What are the either the five influencers or, who do you follow? What information do you consume?
Yeah, that's another good question. I operate out of something called just-in-time consuming versus just-in-case consuming. And it's based on a principle. It might have been Honda or Toyota or something. They had this production line where they would produce just in case. They produce the parts just they produced the parts just in time as they needed them instead of just in case they needed them, which improved their production line and how efficiently they operated. And for me, it's very easy to get distracted by the latest and greatest podcasts, the latest and greatest news, but I like to look at honestly where I'm at in my journey and what I need next in terms of information, and then obsessively focus on one source and consume only from that and avoid the rest. Because if I'm not, say, creating content right now, watching that latest 2-hour podcast from Harmozy on content creation doesn't actually help me reach my goals. Even though it's insightful, valuable, exciting, it's a bit of a distraction. So yeah. I use just in time consuming, whereas I need something, let's say I'm doing some sales calls or I have some sales calls coming up, then I'd consume just sales from one source who is the best at sales in order to learn that specific skill. And then I can use it to take vigorous action immediately rather than consuming a whole bunch of stuff that is interesting, but doesn't actually help me get to the next phase of my journey.
Yeah, that's great. I love that. Just in time consumption or learning. I think it's so easy. I used to read 2 books a week for like 17 years. And so that helped me a ton. Like by the time I became a leader, like everything was just second nature. Like I'd read so much, I'd learned so much. But now, yeah, I read way less. I try to implement way faster. Last week, I just had a post about I wanted to like encourage someone, and someone wrote on Twitter, you should read this book, and chapter 11 has a great format for encouraging others without judgment or whatever. Well, I wanted to do this in like an hour. Like there wasn't time to go buy the book, read it, learn it. So I just wrote in ChatGPT. It was called, I don't even remember the names of the book, but I just put in the book and I said, give me a framework from chapter 11 about encouraging others. And it spit out this framework. And I was like, wow, that was really good. And I said, here's the details that I want to encourage, like write this out in a way that I can do it. And an hour later, I was in front of like 140 people and shared this in a way that was even more powerful than if I hadn't had the framework. You know, it helped me like, and then the guy actually wrote me back. I said, that was awesome. I'm going to share this in an hour. And he said, I would also add to what you've written, be vulnerable with it, like be real with the group. And so I added that as I was starting this business, it was actually that same lady that helped me promote my business. I added that I was a bit nervous. I only had 4 months to make my business work. Otherwise I was like going to have to get a job or something.
Yeah.
And my last business, I'd lost $250,000. So I was nervous getting going, you know? And so it was a combination of like what the guy said, throwing it into ChatGPT, getting that back in 3 minutes instead of having to consume a whole book. And it definitely, in a short period of time, made my life better, you know? And I think what you've said, like what you've seen, what you've done, what you've experienced is that successful people are action takers, you know? It just, there's no way of getting around that. The faster you can take action and the better quality of your action, the faster your business is going to grow.
100%.
Well, this has been great. I definitely want to point people to this. A couple resources. I definitely want to recommend the Synthesizer Group. I've been in it for over a year. It's great. Where do people find that school group?
Yeah, if you look up school.com/synthesizer, you can find it. It's a free group, so it's completely free to join. There's 15,000 other entrepreneurs and educational creators in there if you're interested in getting started. And to highlight one thing you ended on there, I think that the ability to determine which action to take is another thing that separates the successful people. And when you're getting started, I think the procrastination and the inability to take action is out of overwhelm and lack of understanding of what action to take. And that's one thing we've tried to combat in the community is we've made a roadmap to follow where we outline the action steps I took, the action steps Kirby took and others took in order to get the outcome. And we found it helps people like Matt Rice, who I interviewed this morning, you mentioned. He's a synthesizer for Context who just got his first few high-ticket clients following that roadmap, which again is free. We don't have anything to sell. And because he knew what actions to take, he could vigorously apply and take action on it. But the people who don't take action and don't win, it's often because they don't know what action to take, just to add that little bit on.
Yeah, that's so good. I think that's where wisdom comes in, right? Like what do I do next? What's the next best action? It's so hard to know without experience and wisdom. So following a path or a roadmap or a mentor or a community or one of those things is another kind of secret to supercharge, you know, your own success in business. Well, super great, Aiden. Loved having you on. Loved reconnecting. Thank you for your impact in my life, because what you taught me a year ago helped me on X. And like I said, that was about half my business last year came from X. And so super grateful for your impact in my life, and super fun watching you on your journey. I'm excited to see where you go from here. So just in 20 seconds, where do you hope to be in the next 3 to 5 years?
Yeah, I'm going to take 20 seconds just to think about it. It's a good question. I almost don't look that far ahead always, because it almost overwhelms me. And I like to look at things as one step at a time, where what is my next best step? And I almost only ever plan my actions a week in advance right now. So it's almost hard for me to picture that. But 3 to 5 years from now, I'd love to be happily married, starting a family, settled down, home. Probably still traveling, but hopefully I got most of my traveling out so I can begin to raise a family, and maybe even have the business, maybe even being ready to be exited. So that would be a cool place to be at in 5 years.
Cool. Well, I hope that I'm in touch with you then, and look forward to following you on your journey.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, buddy. That was great.
Yeah, super fun to have you on, Aiden.
BAM School. Facilitating a global self-funding disciple-making movement through business. Thanks for tuning in to the BAM School Podcast. Find show notes, free courses, resources, and more at 4BAM.com.